for Making Democracy Work, a program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Katie Gilbert.
As many of our listeners know, midterm primaries will be held on Tuesday, August 7th. While much public attention has been focused on those running for seats in the U.S. Senate and House, voters in Missouri will also be asked to cast a vote on Proposition A. On July 23rd, we heard from Crystal Brigman Mahaney of Vote No on Prop A. This morning, we'll have the second part of our two-part series on Prop A. We'll talk with Representative Steve Helms of District 135, who is a supporter of Prop A. Thank you for joining us this morning, Representative Helms.
Oh, you're very welcome, Katie. Thank you for having me.
Prop A asks the people of the state of Missouri whether they want to adopt Senate Bill 19. The language of the bill states in part two things. The individuals are not to be required to join a union as a condition of employment, and the individuals are not to be required to pay union dues. Let's begin with some background to help our listeners place Prop A in context. Currently, employees in sectors that have unions have a couple of choices. One is for the employee to join a union and pay full dues. A second option is to not join a union and pay what are called fair share fees. Fair share fees, also referred to as pro rata fees, are reduced payments that go only to supporting bargaining efforts and contract administration, as the non-union employee still receives the benefits of collective bargaining. With this background in mind, can you tell us how a yes vote on Prop A would affect those current options available to employees?
Well, first off, Katie, I would like to say that I disagree with the idea that's out there by some people that if you support Prop A, you don't support workers and are anti-union. Nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, I believe that when workers have a real choice as to whether or not they support a union, it's better for all, even the worker, and it makes the union work harder for all their members. I'd also like to share some information that will give us context as well on the issue. According to the AFL-CIO website, Samuel Grompers was the first and longest-serving president of the AFL. He was their president for nearly 40 years. As a matter of fact, Mr. Grompers is credited with making the AFL the largest and most influential labor federation in the world. But there's something that they don't tell you about Mr. Grompers. He didn't support forcing a worker to join the union. Samuel Grompers said no lasting gain can ever come from compulsion, and that is the legal right of a person to not join a union. So to answer your question, reality tells us that there's no difference in not forcing a worker to technically be a member, but then forcing them to support and pay for the largest share of the worker fees and dues by calling them a fair share. The bottom line is that in America, no one should be forced to join or pay for services they don't want or disagree with when it comes to private third-party organizations. So if Prop A passes, workers would have the freedom to choose whether or not they want to join or support an outside organization with their hard-earned wages.
Currently, federal legislation already prohibits employees from being required to join a union, and it prohibits forced payments of dues. So two items appear in the proposal that are already not allowed due to federal law. Prop A takes it a step further and prohibits the fair share fees requirement. And as you note, that goes towards supporting the collective bargaining process. And as those employees work under the resulting contract, why does Prop A propose a change to prohibit unions requiring the fair share fees?
Okay, first of all, I would say that it's up to how a union writes their labor agreement with the company as to whether or not they have to provide benefits. And a lot of unions put that provision in there so that they have the talking point of the so-called free riders. I would take that logic a step further, though. Do you think that you should be forced to join or support the NRA or the ACLU? You know, those are both organizations that fight for people's rights and liberty on the whole as a collective. And yet, if you don't support them, you could be considered a free rider. I don't think that's logic, and I think the unions are the same way. How is it that we've come to the conclusion that 51% of the employees in an organization who want to join an organization can then force the other 49 to pay or support that organization?
Would you say it's different because if you worked in a sector in which the ACLU or the NRA had a union and they negotiated your contract for you, is that slightly different than the scenario that you provided?
No. I would say if someone came to mow your yard to give you an offer and you said, no, I don't want you to mow your yard, and they said, well, I'm mowing your neighbor's yard, so I'm going to mow your yard because it's easier for me to mow your yard. I think we have the individual right to choose the services we want. And I don't think it's up to our neighbors, our fellow workers. Again, this is not a requirement of the business. This is a requirement of the government is forcing that. Samuel Gompers, the longest-serving president in the AFL, he had three principles. And I think if the unions got back to those principles of nonpartisanship, of focusing on economic reform for their employees, and building their trade and craft unions, people would be flocking to join the unions, and they wouldn't have to use force.
So it sounds like those are some of the benefits that you see as coming to your constituents if Prop A passes.
Let me ask you this. What benefits do we have under the current policy of forced unionism? Actually, do the workers have a higher standard of living, or do we have a higher cost of living?
So they're not – am I right in understanding that they are not forced to be a member of the union under federal law?
So I don't see any distinction between forcing someone to join the union and forcing them to pay for the support of the union. Quite frankly, the largest share is not the dues, but the arbitration fees that they charge.
Some proponents of Prop A argue that the law will attract business to our state. Opponents argue that it will instead decrease the ability of unions to bargain, and thus wages and employee working conditions will worsen. What would you say to those who are concerned about the effects of Prop A on wages and working conditions?
First of all, I think it will actually strengthen unions because it will force them to focus upon worker conditions and helping their employees get a better economic advantage. Plus, the fact is that there are many surveys and studies that show that businesses prefer right-to-work states, which in turn cause them to move to those states which improve their economic outturn. I think history is on our side. All we have to do is look that across the nation, states, the majority of states are becoming right to work, and they're moving that way because forced unionism doesn't work and it doesn't help anyone in the long run.
Thank you for being here today, Representative Helms. This has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. For this and other Making Democracy Work programs, please visit ksmu.org.